Hello and welcome back to the Villa Filler podcast. I'm here as always with my good friend Dan Wiseman. Dan, I don't know why you're so smiley after this, mate. It's the morning after the night before. It was a bit of a stinky game. And I know last episode we were like, is this a rut? I think we can call it a rut now, can't we, mate? Aston Villa 1, Newcastle United 3.
Yes, mate. Yes. It's a really hard one. And in a way, I was following you about this kind of post-match. I'm kind of glad that we've let the dust settle and everything like that, because I feel a little bit better about it now. I'm almost, and I know this is going to sound odd, but I'm almost glad this has happened, because as you rightly said, I think this has finally kind of rubber stamped what we've been feeling for a little while now, is that Villa haven't been great. I know we keep referencing it since that week where we beat Arsenal and City in the space of 4 days. It just looks like we've emptied out so much of the tank across those two 1-0 wins. And since then, we've really struggled. And it's a little bit alarming because obviously we have had the 2-week break kind of in between that, which I was hoping that we'd use as a hard reset. But with how grueling kind of all of the games have been since then, it's not like Villa have played kind of badly. And we've gotten through, like, all of those games have been settled really, really late on. You look at from the 1-0 draw at Zrinjski and how hard we have to graft through that game, through the away win at Brentford and Ollie's late winner, Zaniolo's equaliser against Sheffield United, the 3-2 collapse to United, Dougie's, like, 90th whatever minute penalty against Burnley to get us the win there, Cashy's late winner, the fight that it was, the 0-0 draw at Goodison, the same result then at Chelsea before this kind of just collapse at home. It's only really this result, and this is something that we referenced in the previews, this result that means that up until now, we've been going into games and we hadn't been playing great, but by and large, we'd be coming out with at least a draw apart from that defeat at Old Trafford. And I'm kind of hoping that this is the game that shows that, yeah, we haven't been playing well. Maybe for a little while, we've been getting away with it. But you just can't get away with it against Newcastle United. So I'm just hoping that this result is the catalyst. But because up until now, we've been getting by and the results haven't been any reason for panic. And I'm not saying this one is either. But yeah, hopefully this kind of going down 3-0 is the wake-up call that maybe we needed just to try and keep things fresh. Because the next run of games are going to be pretty difficult.
Yeah, you're not wrong, mate. You're not wrong. And I think it's easy to sort of say with hindsight, and this isn't said with any, maybe a tinge, but we said in the last game, mate, you know, why are we sort of not giving Leon Bailey the start with the form he's in, and why are we sort of like playing DR, not playing DR because that just sounds really sort of cruel, but like he should have come off at half time yesterday. There's no way he should have stepped foot on the pitch for that second half because it just wasn't working for him. Nothing was going for him. And like, I find the sort of stark difference in performance from this Newcastle game this season to the Newcastle home game last season where, you know, we beat them 3-0. It was a really convincing win. It was almost a sort of laying the gauntlet down type win, wasn't it? You know, that really kind of rubber stamped our ambitions for the sort of back end of last season. And it gave us the belief to go on. And even like simple things like Diaby, you know, Diaby being on Dan Burn, that's never going to work. We saw McGinn gave him that absolute runaround last season. So why would we change it? Why would we play someone in Musa? Yep. You guys know I think is a wonderful player and I do genuinely hold in such high regard. But why would we stick somebody who is weak in the tackle, never really tackles in any case, is somebody who's clearly sort of devoid on confidence. And I think that's sort of personified in that chance very early on in the first half. The ball sort of played across the box to him. And instead of shooting at the far post when there's a fairly decent angle, and even if he doesn't score, you're going to force a parry from Dubravka. Maybe you get a chance on the rebound. He decides to aimlessly pass it back into the box, not knowing who's there. This is a player that is completely devoid of confidence. And I look at Leon Bailey and he's the complete opposite. Leon Bailey is him. Leon Bailey is that guy. And he literally came on and within 5 minutes almost had himself two assists. I've not seen the offside back. I've been told it's sort of a foot or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's that sort of instant impact that I'm talking about. And I'm all for having like options on the bench and being able to change a game. But if you're going to start by fielding a weaker player and then have to turn to Bailey to try and bail us out, that just doesn't seem like the right game plan to me. And listen, I don't, you know, Unai Emery obviously knows way more about football than I do, but I can't seem to get my head around why Leon Bailey, after the season he's had, isn't starting week in, week out. I think Unai's done a lot right, and he, believe you me, he's got plenty of credit in the bank when it comes to me. I just can't get over the fact that we let Diaby stay on the field for so long last night, and he literally offered nothing. He offered nothing. And that's, I mean, you guys know how high I am on Villa. You guys know how optimistic I am. This is, it's incredibly frustrating. And Diaby's not the only one, if we're being completely honest, mate. But in terms of like seeing instant impact, we obviously saw that with Bailey yesterday, which further highlights the point.
Yeah, I mean, he came on and created more chances and completed more dribbles, I think, than any other player in the game. He had a really strong impact. And look, I think there's definitely something to be said for how good Leon has been off the bench. And I think he's been really useful. That I think he's got one of the best kind of goal assist per minute ratios in the Premier League this season, because so often he has been such an impact off the bench. That said, he's done more than enough, as you rightly say, mate, to earn a start. And I've very rarely, if ever, to be honest with you, since he arrived from away from a game, thinking, yeah, maybe you and I got that one wrong. And I think he did last night. And as you rightly say, you know, I'm not going to come down on him at all for that, really, because if we're going to get one mistake every 13, 14 months, then hey, I can live with that. But yeah, I think it's really hard to know exactly how hard to fall on this game and how hard to fall on whom particularly, because obviously if you look at the back line and the back line that started those two games against Arsenal and City, which was the high point in this season and may well end up being the high point of, you know, Villa's next 24 months, you know, that it is going to be a week that we look back on in years to come as, oh my God, do you remember that week where we, you know, got those two results at Villa Park against Arsenal and City? Like, it was a historic moment for the club, genuinely. But the defence is so greatly changed. Obviously, there was no Carlos last night. There was no Pau Torres last night. Ponce's now playing infield as a centre-back, which he's not done a fat lot of this season. And I don't think, ideally, Unai would have wanted to use Matty Cash in this game. I think he would have preferred that kind of tilted back four. And so much has changed. Obviously, Moreno's back in the fold now. I don't know if it was Dina that started those two games, but, you know, it's almost a completely changed back line. And I know that it's not like we're playing kids or bench players or something like that. These are all guys that should be able to hold their own in the Premier League. But it was a greatly changed 11. And as you rightly say, some changes are enforced, other changes were perhaps incorrect. But, you know, we should have put up a better fight in this game. But I think both of you and I kind of knew in the preview that it was going to be tough. And, you know, with both of us, I think you went, you know, we'd eke out a draw. I nudged at a 2-1 win, but I think in hindsight, both of us kind of knew that a result like this wasn't necessarily off the cards, especially given what Newcastle had done to us at the start of the season. And, you know, you don't want to bemoan injuries and absentees too much, because Newcastle have got their fair share of those, and they definitely handled it a lot better than we did last night. But this is a side that before last night had only won once away in the Premier League this season, which is crazy to say. You know, they had, albeit it was an 8-0 win or whatever it was at Sheffield United, but this was only their second away win of the season. It's not a side that travels very well, and a side which there's real need with, and you just want to see us put up a bit more of a fight against. And the goals were, particularly the second one, unfortunate. And I think that kind of needs to come into play. The first one is poor defending. The second one is kind of unfortunate. We're kind of so shocked by the time we go 2-0 down, but that doesn't really kind of excuse much. It's one that I think we'll bounce back from. I hope that we use in the right way, but yeah, it's kind of how something definitely isn't clicking. Something has definitely changed. The lads looked, above all else, I just think, really tired. And that is a little bit concerning, because it is only January. There's still so much football to play on three different fronts now, with the FA Cup and the Conference League coming back into the fixture list very soon. It is a little bit concerning that we're looking so leggy without so many names out this early in the season.
Yeah, it's not ideal, mate. It's not ideal. And I think the thing is, like, I look at that 11, right? And there is not really much wrong with that. Like, I get, like, you know, we've touched on Diaby, Matty Cash again. I'm really starting to lose something. I don't know what. Belief, faith, I don't know. I think we need to, I mean, we have, well, we're trying to upgrade there, aren't we? We've signed Nielkovic from Belgrade, so that'll be interesting to see how that one goes. And, like, I see a few people, and it's not too many, just sort of, you know, going, oh, you know, Longley, not very good. This, listen, Clement Longley is a very good defender. He's a very good defender, right? Let me just read out some of the numbers from yesterday. Okay. So, Clement Longley yesterday, 90 minutes played, obviously. Made 3 clearances, 3 blocked shots, 2 tackles. He won 4 of his 5 ground duels. He won both of his aerial duels. Boasted a 90% pass completion rate. And made 7 out of 9 accurate long balls. He, like, defending, and just, like, as a player, he's fine to play. There's nothing wrong with playing Clement Longley, right? But the one thing that I will acknowledge is what we miss from Pau Torres is that insane range of passing. Like, genuinely otherworldly range of passing. Defending, can't really split a hair between the two of them. They're both probably as good as each other. If anything, I'd probably lean more on Clement Longley as a defender, solely as a defender. But Pau Torres and that wand of a left foot is so important, and I keep saying it, mate, and I know people are probably sick to the death of hearing me talk about Emi Buendia, but Emi also possesses that sort of same quality in pass. We miss them guys. We miss those guys that can just switch the play and play these sort of wonderful raking 70-yard balls and just sort of change the complete complexion of the game within one sort of swift movement. We don't have that at the moment. Everything's so laboured I understand, you know, we play a very sort of slow and controlled, you know, style of football, and I do completely, you know, and I buy into that. You guys know where unless you're a new listener, obviously you guys know where I stand on Unai Emery and how we're playing right now. But, like, We're making like one or two passes too many in certain instances.
Yep.
There were so many times where, because, you know, Dan Byrne weren't playing left back yesterday. Dan Byrne was just following Moussa Diaby. There was absolutely acres of space down that right hand side, and you're not seeing one, Diaby have the intelligence to peel off Dan Byrne and just go stand in the space, or two, Matty Cash look to attack and exploit that space either. But then again, you know, you've got certain instances from, like, goal kicks as well, where I'm thinking Emi is if he's not hoofing it long and just losing the ball like he did so often yesterday, he's playing it uber short. He's giving it to either Konsa or Longley, who are then going to give it to either Cash or Moreno. You're making one pass too many. These guys are already in space. There were so many instances where Moreno or Cash were in acres of space, and instead of just giving it straight to them, whether, you know, it was like from a throw because he had the ball in his hands, or whether, you know, Emi pinged it to them, it always went to the centre halves before. And, like, you guys listening at home may be going, damn, what are you talking about? It's all about speed. We're too slow at the moment. We're too slow. Mm. And I think, you know, part of that is just because we are tired as well. But Newcastle pressed really well against us. They were so quick. And the moment that we actually did pass that halfway line, they all retreated in numbers as well and made sure they got as many men behind the board as possible to really make sure that we couldn't penetrate their defence. And, you know, that's down to speed, right? That's down to being intelligent. That's been down to being switched on, knowing your roles. And I think there is maybe, I don't know where this sort of responsibility lies, Matt. So I'd like to know your thought. Like, you know, like with the Cash example that I mentioned a minute ago, all that space down that side where Dan Burns sort of stepping into midfield. Are these players overcoached? Are they sticking to the game plan too much? Or are they not intelligent enough to deviate from it when necessary?
That's a very, very good question, Matt. It's a very good question. I do think that the problem that we have with this style is that it's high risk, high reward, right? And we've known that. And for long parts of the season, if not pretty much all of this season, we've been on the right side of that. You know, right through from the offside trap to the press that we employ to the kind of slow build-up play. It's all paid off for Villa this season. But the problem is that once those standards start dropping, it quickly becomes a very easy system to bypass. You know, we play this very narrow 4-2-2-2 with the box midfield, and Newcastle just, I know this, you know, really sounds like I'm dumbing down the game, just went over or around it. And we've not really seen that. You know, if you look in the first half, we looked so easy to play against. You know, they had that diagonal ball onto Anthony Gordon. They found so many different ways to get over the top, in behind of our back line. And our midfield was just getting completely bypassed. And we've not really seen that. And it is, we've looked so complex to play against. And that's the interesting shift for me, because the tactics haven't changed. The tactics haven't changed. And that's one thing I will say, is that, Emery has stuck to his principles, and he should continue to stick to his principles, absolutely. But a system that looked so effective now looked last night just very timid, and that's what's concerning, is that all of a sudden how seemingly we are employing this tactic has changed. And when it comes to finding that plan B, as you say, when it comes to the players adapting on the pitch, either this system is so reliant on the individual characteristics of a Pau Torres that you know, that's, I like kind of what you said on Longley, and that it's no slight on Longley that he's not able to replace Pau Torres. There probably aren't too many centre-halves in world football that could come in and do that off a left foot. Pau Torres is so unique. He's such a, you know, one-of-a-kind profile. That's why we went after him. But what it means is that when you have players kind of stepping into that mould, just doesn't work as well. And I think it's probably a combination of the two. I think Villa don't really have, it seems, a kind of second option, a second way of finding their way through teams or recovering games. That's one thing I definitely will say about Unai's style, is that I don't think it's particularly well suited to chasing games and going after games. We've done such a great job of not being behind, particularly at home this season, that all of a sudden, the kind of slow build-up and the methodical way of playing through teams when, yeah, you do need to up the ante and you do need to up the tempo because you're 2-3-0 down at home, it just doesn't seem to work as well. And I think if we're not playing as well, that kind of plan B, what happens when we go a goal or two down? Can we reverse the tides of games? And that's when you look at that second half at Old Trafford and say that there's an increasing bank of evidence to say potentially not. And it's not to say that Villa can't do that, but Villa need to figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And again, there's not really that much time to sort of make things right. Sheffield United is coming up on the weekend. Going to be a tough away game. You know, I obviously didn't catch their game last night, but they took the lead twice, didn't they, against Crystal Palace. So I think they'll be a bit upset that they didn't get the 3 points there that they maybe felt that they deserved. But that's going to be really tough. And I think we're in this moment right now, and it's not helped by how brilliant the first half of the season has been. And I think, is the pressure getting too much for the players? Maybe. Do we have a bit of a thin squad at the moment? Definitely. Can we turn it around soon? Hopefully. I think that's all I've really got there. I think I want to give a shout out to Emmy. I did absolutely just lambast his distribution, because it was fucking atrocious. Pardon my language. It was horrendous. But he made some big saves in the game, and it's not very often you can sort of walk away from conceding 3 goals and say that your keeper played well. But Emmy continues to just do things that only the best goalkeeper in the world can do. And Ezri as well. Just
quickly, the best one-on-one goalkeeper in the world right now?
I think he is, mate. That leg, those legs.
Just remarkable, yeah.
I think that, you know, that Kolo Muani save has really given him the confidence to sort of be that sweeper keeper. I know he's sort of said a few times recently that he's not very comfortable doing it, but like, I mean, you literally, you did that in the, you won the World Cup final as a result of that save, Emmy. So I think it's given him a lot of confidence. And he, I think, I mean, you'd know, mate, as a keeper yourself, I think it's more the, it's like with that Gordon one that he saved with his leg, right? It's about your sort of distribution of weight and how you sort of look to maybe deceive the attacker as well, because Emmy obviously had to cover his left, Gordon's right, because he's obviously right footed. So you would assume he'd maybe sort of slot it around him on that side. But he obviously goes either side, and Emmy made sure that was sort of covered off, and it was just, that was a brilliant save. And he made about five of them against Chelsea, didn't he?
Yep. No, he's been fantastic, mate. I know that's kind of goes hand in hand with Villa's downturn in performance. We're conceding more goals, more shots, and so naturally a goalkeeper as good as Emi is going to stand out. But there's no doubt that, you know, we lose at Everton without that one-on-one save against Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Could have easily, Newcastle could have had at least another two last night with some really good one-on-one saves. And so, yeah, I mean, you could probably, you know what we were saying in the preview about most of these, you know, we've not been losing games, we've been drawing them. You could probably make the conversation that's almost single-handedly down to Emi keeping us in games at points. So I think he deserves, just a shell.
I'd say so, mate. And Konsa as well. I thought he was brilliant. You know, I think every week you kind of feel like you've seen it all with Ezri Konsa, and then there's just another sort of moment of composure or a brilliant tackle, or even, you know, something as mundane as his little Magidi spin yesterday. And you're like, if this guy isn't on the plane to Germany, then I don't know who will. I don't know who will, mate, because he's been absolutely brilliant. But guys, let us know your thoughts in the comment section down below. I just wanted to give a shout out to Dean, who saw it at Villa Park yesterday, listener of the podcast. Shout out to you and the boys. We really appreciate you guys for listening and watching. And yeah, if you're on Apple, Spotify, make sure you follow, download, share, leave a review, all that. And if you're on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, and up the Villa.